Hey y'all, so man, I just want to say that this has been a fight to even record these episodes. I am on episode 2 and it's been a journey, but I'm here finally again. But I am just gonna go in and dive into what we'll be talking about today. Today, our topic is worship. And the title of this podcast episode is called Key to His Heart. So y'all, just starting off, just a little background story before I go into what God had gave me. And so I basically was out of town. This message came from being in Philly, having some quiet time and God just speaking to me in a season where I felt like doing would compensate for where I was in my walk with God. And for some reason, I always felt like if I was in a good place with God, I would always ask him what it is that he needed me to do. And in this particular conversation that I had with him, it was pretty different. So we went through worship. Now I'm going to go through some of the thoughts that I went through before I even dive in any deeper. One of the thoughts that I had being in Philly, this was back in about 2020. I remember it as clear as day. I was with my two friends, Jate and Tamisha, and I also was at a point where I felt like I lost my worship for God. And my friend Tamisha, who does have her own podcast called Unleashing Souls, Tamisha basically posed me a question and she asked me, how did I view God? And I went into my quiet time and I had a conversation with God and I was just basically telling him, you know, like how I see him. And one of the things that I expressed to him was that I seen him as a master. And as I was going through my thoughts, I was comparing my relationships that I have here on earth with like my parents, with my friends, with people that I've just encountered on the earth. And the way that I am supposed to see God sometimes is distorted because of how I view people here on earth. Now, one of the things that I expressed to God was that I saw him as a master. And I saw him as a master. That was just like my main thought of who I saw God as. And the way that I viewed him was a reflection of how I viewed everyone else, which in some ways were wrong. And in one of my writings, I wrote, God, I clearly see you wrong. Makes it hard to worship you. I've lost my worship for you. So that was just one of the thoughts that I had, which kind of led me to another writing that I had. So this was October 13th of 2020. And I noticed that every time, well, basically reiterating what I said in the beginning, I basically expressed to him that I noticed that I'm always asking you what it is that you want me to do, because I was going to come here to ask you again. It's like when I feel like I'm getting closer to you again, I feel the need to ask you this question. But what if you just need me to be? From there, you know, like I was just expressing how, you know, in life, I always had to prove myself. I had to earn my love through doing. And I noticed that I was projecting it onto God. So when I would come up to God, it was like, okay, what do I have to do for all that you've done for me? And how can I continue being in like right standing with him? So as I was writing, I felt like God was, well, I know that God was basically teaching me what worship was. And one of the first points that I want to touch on is worship is an act of being. Worship is just being in your true form and not in your best form. Now, in John 4, verse 23-24, Jesus gave the Samaritan woman the true definition in worship. In verse 19-20, she questions where true worship is done, and he answers with an answer that trumps the where but clears up the what. So basically, like a background story of the scripture that I'm talking about, Jesus met a woman at the well, and he basically told her about herself and how, you know, he said she had five husbands, and that the one that she's with now, that she knows that he's not her husband. But that's not the point. So one of the questions that the lady poses is, she asks him, she basically reiterates the fact that people go to this specific mountain to worship God. I'm gonna pull it up. So she just basically posed a question that says, like, why do the Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while the Samaritans claim it is at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? So she was basically asking Jesus, okay, why do these people say that worship is here, and why do those people say that worship is there? And Jesus basically replied to her and told her, like, there is a time coming where it won't matter where you worship the Father, whether it's on the mountain, whether it's in Jerusalem, that true worship was in spirit and in truth, and that the Father was looking for those who worship him in that way. And how, like, God is spirit. So in verse 24, he said, God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So basically reiterating all of that is saying, like, it's who you are and the way that you live that count before God. Simply and honestly, themselves before in their worship, not putting on, like, telling God, I'm not at my best right now, but I know you are still good. So it goes to us and how we live our lives that really matters to God. Every day we're worshiping something. Every day, whether it's us worshiping God, whether it's worshiping music, whether it's worshiping the devil, whether we're worshiping something. So our lives basically reflect who we worship. So when Jesus said that God is looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in truth, it's the people that live their lives that represent who God is, that represents who they're serving. And we can see that even in the pandemic, churches were closed. It didn't matter what church you went to worship, because it wasn't even an option. There was a time where there wasn't an option of going to church, where it's like, okay, God, I'm doing myself for 5-6 days, and for Sunday, you know, like, I'm at the church and I'm worshiping God, like, I'm clocking in, this is my worship. And that actually isn't true worship. So God is looking for true worshipers that will worship him in their lives. So those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration, in spirit and in truth. Who are you without the church building? Who are you without the church building? How are you worshiping God in your daily lives? So that's more important than when we think that we're singing to God and we're racing or we're rushing to church, making sure that we get to the worship part because this is our time where we'll worship, not knowing that when we live our lives, it is worship. No matter whether you're conscious about it or you are, you're worshiping something and somebody. Now, the second point that I have is that worship connects us to God's heart. Worship connects our heart to God. So basically, worship is the connection to God's heart. If you're not connected, you cannot worship. Oh my gosh, y'all. Listen, like, true worship requires a postured heart. If our heart is not postured, we can't worship. What is our true connection to God? Our true connection to God is really our heart. So if we don't have an accurate view of who God is, we won't believe that God is good. Why would we want to worship him? If we don't believe that he's king of all kings, if we don't believe that he's God above all gods, how can we properly view God to worship him? And this was so crazy how God broke it down to me. And he broke it down to me in the way of a Wi-Fi. Now, just like Wi-Fi, you need a password to connect to those secured Wi-Fi connections, or to those secured connections, you have to have a password, and you have to know the password. You can't just put any password and expect yourself to get in. For public Wi-Fi, you don't need a password. Sometimes it might ask you for your name. It might ask you for your email. It might ask you for something of your identity to get in. But the point is, secure private Wi-Fi is secured, and public Wi-Fi isn't secured. There's no password that's required. So what's the key to God in the sense of a Wi-Fi? His heart. To get into God's presence, to properly worship God, you have to know his heart. You have to get through God's heart. And the way that you get through God's heart is by knowing him. When you're talking to somebody, or when you're getting to know somebody in that aspect of love or relationship, the way that you don't just randomly get into their heart, or that person don't just randomly just open their heart to you just like that. They want to get to know you. They have to get to know you in order to even connect to your heart. So it's the same thing with God. Before you can even begin connecting to the Wi-Fi, you have to have knowledge of which one you need to connect to. When we're searching for, okay, let's say we go to our homegirl or our homeboy house, and they have Wi-Fi. What's the first thing we ask? What's your Wi-Fi? So it's the same thing with God. Like, knowing which Wi-Fi you need to connect to. You need to connect to the right Wi-Fi. You need to know the identity to connect. You don't want to connect to the wrong one, or to an unsecured connection that is open to anybody. You have to know who God is before we recognize what we're connecting to. Recognizing the correct source before choosing to connect is important. You won't be able to connect to the wrong Wi-Fi with the right password. So let's say you do have the password. You be like, okay, what's the Wi-Fi password? And they give you the Wi-Fi password. And let's say there's a Wi-Fi name that's pretty close to what their Wi-Fi will be. And you're putting in the right password, but you're not getting in. You have to identify who God is. The next step would be you need Wi-Fi to complete your assignment. So after you're connected to God's heart, after you are connected to the Wi-Fi, you're able to go on the internet. You're able to complete your assignment. You're able to do what it is that God is calling you to do. Because if you're not, just like a job, like, if you're not connected, if you're not interested, if you're not passionate, if your heart isn't open to doing what it is that they're telling you to do, you won't be able to do it with excellence. You won't be able to do it really in the way that you need to do it. And worship is our weapon. Like, worship is our posture. When we're connected to the Wi-Fi, we're able to do what it is that we need to do. We're postured in the right way. Worship also being our weapon. When we're in, we're able to access what God has given us. Now, for this, And this is the third point. The third point is worship is our weapon, because it postures us the right way first. And you remember who God is and what he's done. Now, in 2 Chronicles 20, so the background story to this is Jehoshaphat. There's a guy named Jehoshaphat that was in the Bible. And there was basically three armies that were coming against them. And he basically like, yo, God, like, this army is coming against us. And he's basically bringing God's word back to him and saying, like, you're this God, you're that God. And even though he's questioning God, he's still worshiping him at the same time. Yeah, so he basically worshiped him at the same time in his prayer. He's like, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against us. And he just continued to remind God of what he did before and how he, when he drove out the people that were in the land when the people of Israel arrived. And he was just basically bringing back God's word to him, saying, like, you said this and you did this. And now these armies are coming up against us. You will not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. And okay, so these armies, when Israel was basically traveling, the people of Israel could have destroyed these people, but they chose not to. And now these armies were coming back against them. So he's like, God, you're not going to stop them? Like, what you finna do? We powerless. Like, we can't go against them. Like, they way bigger than us. And God basically comes back and says in verse 15, he said, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And he basically continues to instruct them on what to do. And he just tells them, go out there. You don't even need to fight. Just take your position. Stand still. Watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them. And when they heard that, they fell to the ground and started worshiping God. Now, in studying this, I was just having a conversation with God. And when he told me, like, your worship is your posture, and then he tells me to go to 2 Chronicles 20, I'm like, okay, God, like, they praised you. They ain't worship, because, you know, I've learned that praise and worship is two different things. So I'm like, God, I remember that they praised you, not that they worshiped you. But when you go to verse 18, the first thing that they did after God gave them that word is that they worshiped the Lord. Jehoshaphat bowed low to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. That was their first thing that they did, was worship God. They postured themselves. They reminded themselves who God was so that they can connect to him. Because God, if you notice, God tells them, this battle isn't yours. This battle is mine. So if God is telling you this battle is mine and you don't know who God is, you're not going to believe that this battle is his, or you're not going to believe that he's capable of coming against this army, because you don't even know who God is. You don't even know that God is your protector. You don't even know that God is your redeeming. You don't even know that God will protect you. You don't even know that God is your stronghold. Like, you don't even know these things. So you're not even able to posture yourself in him to know that he's able and that he's capable of doing these things. So the first thing that they did was posture themselves. They postured themselves correctly. And in this aspect, what worship did for them was it connected them to who the battle really was for. Not only was it adoration to God, it reminded them who he was and helped to posture them in victory. Isn't that so good? Knowing who God is helps us to posture ourselves in victory. If God says in his word that this is a fixed fight, that we are more than conquerors in him, and all of these other things, it's like, if you don't believe it, if you don't remind yourself, you're not able to come again. You're not able to stand against nobody. You're able to easily be shaken. And in worshiping, you don't only just see him. Now, I didn't even tell y'all this part, but in the beginning of my writing to God, I was just like, God, I'm not gonna lie, like, the way that I see worship is kind of messed up, because how I've seen it or how I've heard it explained was, you know, like, you bow down when you're worshiping somebody, you're bowing down to them, which is true. You're bowing down to them and you're making them. It sounds very awful, but this is how I thought. You're like bowing down to them and you're making them feel good. Like, it's like a job. So worship can be explained in a way where it makes people feel like it's a job. And I'm just like, God, like, I ain't gonna lie, like, that's how I seen it. So it's kind of hard for me to do it, because I also didn't understand what worship was, not knowing that you don't only see God, but you start to see yourself accurately too. We are conquerors in Christ Jesus. And if we're conquerors in him, we have to know him to believe that for ourselves. So not only is worship adoration to God, worship, like I said earlier, is a connection to God. So you're connected to who he is. And if we are image bearers of God, if God made us in his image, if we don't know who God is, and we don't know who God is, we're not able to worship him, and we're not able to posture him ourselves in who he is, it kind of defeats the purpose of us bearing his image. And man, like, another thing about worship is the fact that worship is a mirror. How we view God is how we'll be able to worship him. So if we don't view God as superior and we view God as man, we're not able to worship him, because we don't place him in his rightful place. We don't see him as King of Kings. We don't see him as Lord of Lords. We don't see him as the God that saves. We don't see him as number one. Our worship and how we live our lives, because again, worship is a lifestyle. Worship is something that you do every day. Worship is something you do every day. So whether you're worshiping God, whether you're worshiping music, whether you're worshiping yourself, whether you're worshiping your image, whether that's what idolatry is, like, you're worshiping something else, or you're worshiping something else. So it's either you're worshiping God or you're worshiping somebody else or something else. Not only does it mirror us and how we view God, it mirrors what we see, ultimately changing us. Because when we worship, we should be changing to look more like him. Wow. Worship ultimately changes us, because when we worship, we should be changing to look more like him. Now, I feel like that point goes back to us connecting to who God is. Because if God is a conqueror and I'm made in God's image, I'm a conqueror. If God has the victory and I'm made in his image, then I'm victorious in him. Not apart from him, but in him. And ultimately, when we're changing to look more like God, we basically become what we behold. Wow. Becoming what we behold. When you're worshiping God, you're basically telling God how you view him, who you think God is, what you know him to be. So God wants us to be like him. We can't be. It's no way possible for us to be exactly like God, but he transforms us to look more like him. So who are we bearing? Who are we looking like? What are we worshiping? Because worshiping transforms us. Worshiping postures us in who and what we're worshiping. So instead of asking God what to do, ask him to give him more of himself and you'll naturally want what he wants. Whew. That's the hard part for us. Just being and resting in who God is and allowing our intimacy, allowing our relationship with him to transform us. And it naturally, our desires basically transforming into his desires. So if we are beholding God, if we are viewing God accurately, if we are connecting to God, if we are doing these things, our desires will naturally align with his desires. Our will naturally align with his will. So I hope this made sense, and I hope this has helped somebody to view worship accurately. And to just, sometimes we just need to rest in God. We just need to rest in who he is and remind ourselves, learn who God is, have an accurate view of him, know his identity, know who God really is for ourselves, and not through other people's testimonies or how they view God themselves. And just allowing worship to connect us to him, allowing worship to connect our hearts with God. Because when we're connected with God's heart, it's powerful. Like, it's powerful. It's kind of like him revealing his mysteries. When he says that he'll reveal his mysteries to us, it's kind of the same thing. When we're postured in him and when we know his heart, we begin to treat people differently. We begin to understand things differently. We begin to just want what God wants. So this is the end of this episode. I will see you guys on the next one. Be free to give me some feedback, to let me know. I am open to it. I am new to this. This is not something that I ain't been doing this. This is something that I am just going by faith, doing what God is telling me to do finally, and just ending this run that I've been on for so long. So please feel free, if you guys have any feedback, and I'll catch you guys on the next one.